Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A presentation of Sydney Senior Services, where they never charge for their service.
Douglas County Commissioner Tim Freeman joining us. Tim, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, earlier in the week, the Association of O&C Counties put out a release expressing support for a decision from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And in your role as president of that association, talk more about the decision and what you can tell us.
Well, thank you very much for having me on this morning. And it's so nice to talk about something besides COVID for a minute. So really what this does is it helps remove a conflict between the different federal agencies. So when the U.S. Forest Service does a forest plan on the U.S. forest for how they're going to manage that, or when the BLM does a resource management plan for how they're going to manage the O&C lands, they do that work, and it's a very long, drawn-out process. And in those plans, they establish what habitat for different species that are endangered or threatened, and they make those plans. And it's a very long public process. What's happened in the recent time that it happened was in 2012, unaligned, not working with those agencies, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, they decided they were going to put a designation of critical habitat, an overlay on top of those plans that were already drafted or in place. So you have these conflicting plans. So as an example, on the O&C lands, 2.1 million acres managed by the BLM, that resource management plan took 80% of the land into some kind of a reserve status for habitat and riparian areas and other things, and only left 20% for the active management or the sustained yield management required by the O&C Act. Well, the Fish and Wildlife came in at the very end and said, oh, by the way, in that 20%, a little better than 40% of that is our critical habitat. So those things weren't aligned as they developed the resource management plan. This ruling, this rule that was just recently done, all it does is it takes that duplication out. People think it somehow removes the spotted owl from the listing. None of that happens. It simply allows the agency to deal with the habitat needs for endangered species within their resource management or their forest plan.
So how did this decision take place? I'm sure groups like yours have been probably advocating for this for quite a while.
Well, again, I think because the agencies see the conflict, they definitely, you know, knew there had to be something done. And this is done through Department of Interior, Fish and Wildlife Service. So it is their rulemaking process. You know, for a very long time, us and other stakeholders have described this conflict as not being really even good for the spotted owl habitat, because you're not focused on creating the habitat where the owl can best survive. It just sort of locks everything up, and it doesn't let good management happen. So they go through this long, drawn-out rulemaking process, and they have to. There's going to be a lot of determinations made in order for them to make this. I'll read you one section of it's important. The Endangered Species Act also specifies that land may be excluded from critical habitat designation if the benefits of exclusion outweigh the benefits of inclusion of those lands. So long as the secretary determines, based on the best science and commercial data available, that the exclusion will not result in the extinction of the species. So they have to do this really in-depth analysis with all this data and look at, you know, the land, if it's in critical habitat designation, if it's not in critical habitat designation, how does that affect the species? And really what it comes down to is, for the spotted owl, their biggest threat is not habitat. Their biggest threat is the barred owl. And the barred owl is a stronger, more aggressive owl that kills the spotted owl. And ultimately, if the Fish and Wildlife and the BLM and the Forest Service want to focus their efforts on saving the spotted owl, they need to work more focused on getting rid of the barred owl. And they also need to understand that not all lands are going to work for habitat. And this idea of locking everything up creates these big fire-prone areas. Because of the fragmentation of the O&C and the way they have the the way they had the different designations, it was very difficult for them to sort of group up older forests. So without this designation, there's all kinds of things now that the agency can do, the BLM can do, as they write the next resource management plan. These sort of arbitrary or unnecessary designation of critical habitat won't get in the way of that work. And I think it actually would be better for the recovery plan.
And obviously, in the mix here, when you look at these forest lands, is things like the Archie Creek fire and the impact it's had on a wide area here in Douglas County.
Yeah, so that's a great issue to bring up. Thank you. So as you know, they look at ways to, you know, take that dead wood off that forest and replant a new forest. You know, right now with all these designations, it's virtually impossible for the agencies to do anything. We're hopeful that this rule doesn't take effect for 60 days. But after 60 days, in the area up there that was designated as a harvest land base that, you know, might have had a critical habitat designation, like I say, of the 20% of the entire ONC that was allowed to be harvested or management to occur on, 40% had critical habitat. So certainly there's going to be some areas in the fire that that had this kind of arbitrary or unnecessary critical habitat layer on it that now will be removed, and maybe they'll be able to go in there and take that dead wood off and replant a new forest. So we're hopeful for that. We haven't seen all the data and all the maps yet, but we're working on it. And again, we've been working on this. It's been on the, you know, on my top three or four lists. Every trip I've made to D.C., we've met with and explained the social economic situation of not being able to manage these lands. We've talked about sort of this conflicting or non-aligned designation of critical habitat, how it conflicts with the resource management plans. And finally, after a lot of work, we had somebody go through the very difficult work in D.C. of changing the rule.
And in Washington, D.C., we're about to have a new administration come in. We've talked over the years about how things kind of go back and forth sometimes, depending on who is president, who's overseeing the agencies, things like that. Is there concern that as the new administration gets situated, that this could change?
Well, I think certainly, I mean, we've had, in my 6 years of being a commissioner, we've had three different secretaries of interior, and I have met with all of those, two of those here in Oregon. I've hosted two meetings here in Oregon with secretaries of interior. It'll be our job to get, you know, in front of the decision makers in the Department of Interior, the new decision makers, and explain to them and educate them on these issues. They're very complicated and they're very specific. Remember, ONC land only occurs in Western Oregon. It doesn't occur anywhere in the United States but here. So we have to be the ones out there educating, telling people the history and really making sure they have all the information to make the best decision.
Douglas County Commissioner Tim Freeman, thanks for being on this morning.
Great. Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
8:39 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.